Let me tell you about something new.
It's time.
A new show called G's Power.
G's Power.
Real talk for real saints.
Are you ready?
And it's for real.
Welcome to G's Power Hour live every weekday at 11:30 a.m. on Never Had It So Good Entertainment Network. Your host, G, will bring you informative and entertaining guests and a variety of topics in a way that you can absorb and enjoy. Listen in weekdays and call in at 516-387-1944. We love interaction. All shows can be downloaded if you miss one or found on iTunes the next day. G's Power Hour is powered by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network.
G's Power Hour.
Yeah.
Good morning, brothers and sisters, kings and queens, angels and saints, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. Beautiful day today, a little bit overcast. Like I said, we need that liquid sunshine. I got some more plants. I need it really bad, but because it's been a scorcher, even though we've gotten some rain. So thank you for taking the time out. We got to remember today, even though I wasn't able to get anyone on to talk about it, we've got to honor the Buffalo Soldiers today. Today is National Buffalo Soldiers, I guess, Awareness or Appreciation Day. So I think I did post something. I'll try to post it again. That was a special that PBS had, if you want to look into that. And then also I think the Smithsonian website has something, and I'm going to try to see what I can pull down from that. So anyway, they were originally members of the 10th Cavalry Regiment of the United States Army, formed on September 21st, 1866 at Fort Leavenworth, Kansas. It was given to the Black Cavalry by Native American tribes who fought the Indian Wars. The term became synonymous with all of the African American regiments formed in 1866. So them for their service posthumously, and let's remember them. And thank you to the descendants who who were honored to have these members as part of their family. So anyway, so I've got I resisted LinkedIn for a while. One of the things though that has having done the show, started doing the show a few years ago, one of the things that has blessed me from LinkedIn is to be able to find unique and talented guests. And one of the guests that I wanted to have on, I was contacted by them, is an author for a book called Sean's Window. And so we wanted to talk to Sean's Window author, William Perdue. Mr. Perdue, are you there?
I am here. How are you, Gretchen?
All right. Good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. How about yourself?
I'm doing quite well. Thank you for joining us. I know this is kind of a little early for you. This is like lunchtime for us, breakfast for you.
Right.
to Golden State. But thank you for getting up and telling us about you and Sean's Window. But first, I want to ask you about your journey as an author. How did you choose that path? And then we were going to talk a little bit about the book. But, I'm sure there's been a lot of people that have wanted to say, I've got something to say and want to pick a pen pull.
Right.
In the old days, a typewriter, now it's the computer. But what prompted
mm-hmm.
you?
Well, I'll be honest with you. It's one of my new favorite pastimes is to talk about people and their spiritual gifts. I don't really necessarily feel like I chose to write. I feel like it more chose me. It was actually something that I've always done as a child. You know, if I was in class and I finished an assignment early, my first instinct was to grab a pencil, grab my notebook, find an area that I knew I wasn't going to need that day and write a poem, a short story, just random things. You know, I would write, you know. A lot of times teachers would like to have us write, they give you the list of vocabulary words for the week, and you got to write them 5 times each or take them home and write 1 sentence per word, I would always go to my teachers and ask for permission if instead of writing random sentences for these words that I could write stories with these words involved in them. And luckily, a lot of them were willing to allow me to do so because it allowed me to explore different avenues. So it was always kind of there. As far as writing children's books, I have a 6-year-old at home. My son's name is actually Sean, and we read to him every night, my wife and I. And whenever we're reading, we just kind of watch him and, you know, kind of pick his brain about what he thinks about the books. And we're just noticing, you know, often that, you know, he doesn't have a whole lot of stories of interest or at least things that pertain to him, stories of color, stories of, you know, black young men being, I guess, projected as heroes. And I started to think about it, like, you know, I can do it. You know, why not just put what my thoughts are and my experience are or things that I've seen onto the paper and try to entertain them that way. And also kind of a legacy gift, just to give something back to them. So I think everybody has something that's unique, something that they're good at. They don't really understand why they're good at it. Writing was that thing for me. And it gives me a chance to speak my piece. And like I said, you know, provide stories for him so that he's excited about reading. And, you know, he's able to say, you know, I like it. I don't do this because I have to. I do this because I want to. You know, just building that foster of love for reading and him and any other child that's out there that gets a chance to read my story. So I hope that answers your question.
Yes. And I understand about that love for reading because that's kind of one of the things that I miss. I don't get a chance to really sit down and read for pleasure. It's always something about my career or something for
the
betterment of my life, you know.
Research,
sit down
of course,
and read for pleasure. I used to do that as a kid. I mean, I used to have time sometimes when I would go through a novel in the afternoon because I just liked to read. If I was into the story, I was hooked, you know. So now, is this your first publication or have you been published before?
This is my first publication. I've spent a lot of time trying to get into the screenplay business. I've written a few movies independently, one of which has gotten picked up by Indie Rights called Saturday School. We'll see where that goes. But, you know, I was more trying to crack into that door of Hollywood while I was, you know, teaching our young, kind of, you know, double dipping, if you will, spending time as a teacher, but also moonlighting as a script writer. But as far as publishing a book for children, this is my first one, so I'm excited.
Well, congratulations on the publication of Sean's Window, and I obviously your son Sean was your inspiration. So tell us a little bit about the book. What is Sean's Window about?
So Sean's Window is actually just that. He's at school. You know, the day's just starting, his parents are leaving him, and he can see them walking away through the window. And it brings this, you know, I think it's something that's common in a lot of young children. He's a kindergartner. They become a little solemn, a little sad that their parents are leaving them for the day. They know, you know, deep down that their parents will be back, but for whatever reason, there's that, you know, reluctance to relax, that fear that maybe they don't return. And meanwhile, Sean has a teacher that's on them as soon as they get to school and wants them to complete this assignment. And without giving too much away, because I love writing a little bit of mystery no matter what I write, Sean's Window does have a little bit of mystery that I don't want to spoil the ending. But to make a long story short, he's looking through his window and finding inspiration through the window to help him handle the task that his teacher is throwing his way. And she's on him from minute one, you know, trying to get him off of the hole, being sad, not worrying about his parents being gone. And she's in his face, just really putting the pressure on for him to get the work done. And it isn't but for his imagination that he starts to figure out a way to do so. And I feel like, again, with the spiritual gifts speak, I feel like a lot of students are like that. You know, they sit in class, they're a little sad that their parents aren't there. They don't necessarily know how to contribute in class. Maybe they don't know how to read as well. Maybe they don't know how to write as well. Maybe they're lacking in math or some other skill. And they have to use what they know best in order to, you know, handle the task in front of them. And so that's what this is. It's just kind of an ode to all those students that I've seen struggle with being sad because, you know, their fathers aren't around, their parents aren't around. And also, you know, they lack that natural it factor to get through the course of a school day. But they all have a gift. They all have something in them that can help them rise if only they can unlock it. So sort of an ode to that, if you will.
Okay. So now how old is your Sean?
My Sean is 6.
Okay.
No, same age as Sean and Sean's window.
Okay. So is it for that particular age range to be able to read or is it supposed to be where a parent can read to the child, or can a child read it on its own? I just was curious.
So I would say, you know, if you're reading it to your child, it's probably because you have an infant, you know, 6 months old, 8 months old.
Okay.
But it ranges from birth to, I would say, 7 or 8 years old, depending on your child's reading level.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
Early elementary school.
Early elementary school. Okay.
Right.
So you collaborated with an illustrator by the name of Serena Lopez. How did you two come together on this?
She's amazing. I had my best friend passed away maybe 15 years ago. I grew up with him, you know, every step of the way, wherever he was, I was kind of, you know, thick as thieves, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
This is his niece. And
okay.
Yeah, I had his brother actually was kind of nudging me for the longest time. He knew I was looking for an illustrator, but I was looking for something very specific. I'm really big on vibrant colors and just a playful nature. You know, there's a seriousness to the story, but it's done in a clever, fun way. The kids that I know that I've read it loved it. The parents are writing to me constantly telling me that they love the story. You know, most in particular, you know, the pictures, they jump off the page, and I was looking for that. You know, sometimes you have friends or family that are trying to get you to include them in something. You kind of feel like they just want to tag along for the ride and kind of like,
right.
You know, ride your wave. I thought that's what it was. And I was kind of like swatting them away. You know, leave me alone. Finally, he just starts sending me pictures without me even requesting them. And when I look at them, I'm blown away instantly. Serena Lopez is a fantastic artist. Like, she knows what she's doing. Like I said, I'm looking for something to jump off the page. She gave me that minute one, and she works quick. So her turnaround time was amazing. I had a pleasure working with her, and I can't wait till she starts getting her just due as an artist herself because she is incredible.
So this particular book is not a one and done for you. So is there a series of Sean books, or are there other books coming not related to Sean?
I'm starting to fall in love with this question. The more I get asked, the more ideas I gain. I have several Sean's window stories that are coming down the pike. I am actually working on something a little different than Sean's window right now. But yes, there will be multiple Sean's window versions. Sean's backyard,
okay.
Sean's dad, Sean's mother, they all have windows. One of the things I'm doing on my Instagram page is running, you know, kind of my own, homemade ad. And at the end of every one that promotes the story, you'll see like a slogan that says, "What's in your window?" Because, again, it's me asking you, you know, what's your gift? What is your voice? Again, I'm not necessarily writing these because they make me happy. Like, I want to write these stories to unlock that je ne sais quoi within every kid that's out there that gets a chance to read it. I want them to see reading differently than I saw it growing up. To me, reading was a punishment. You know, you're in class, you're talking, you got to go sit in the back and read the dictionary, you know, the old school kind of discipline disciplinarian. That's what I came up against as I was coming up through school. And so I started to learn, you know, when you read, you're in trouble. Something happened. You know, you're at home, your mom is getting annoyed with, you know, you're fussing and fighting or whatever it is in the house. Go upstairs and read a book. It was a punishment. But, you know, the more I've read,
yeah,
as I've grown up, I graduated from UC Davis, and, you know, I was able to see, like, there's a million amazing stories. And if you present them the right way, you can get them in the hands of young children, and they'll understand the same thing that I had to wait 25 years to learn, you know, that reading is awesome. And so, you know, that's what it's all about to me. It's trying to get everybody to see, like, what is in your window? What do you want to say? What do you want to do? What do you want to become? Because you can. If it's a writer, then let's do that. And hopefully Sean's window can make you become inspired to want to go read so that you can learn what you're interested in and then do that, you know?
So, yeah, you know, and you're so right. It's like reading, you tell somebody to go read something, it's like, oh, man. And that is awful. That is truly awful. I highly encourage, you know, people to, you know, just get their reading skills down, you know. I mean, if they're young and they still, you know, have time to work on it, get the reading skills down. Because you cannot be defeated if you have a good grasp on reading and writing. You know, I mean, if you're able to
100%.
Learn, because, I mean, you can go to somebody and ask them a question, and they'll tell you what they want to tell you, and it may or may not be the truth, you know. But
right,
if you're able to get
right.
credible sources to read and just, you know, just entrench yourself into that, you can learn so much, and
right,
you can kind of,
right.
you know, be kind of the master of your fate in a way, I think.
Absolutely.
By learning how
especially,
to read.
Exactly. Especially if you're seeing images of people who look like you presented in a heroic light. And, again, that's what Sean's window and all my stories that I'm working on aim to do. I'm working on a new one called I Have a Dream Too. Title might sound like something that's, you know, that's a little serious for children. But when you see the way I spin it, you know, it's going to be through the lens of a kindergartner.
Yeah.
You know, what's his dream? Because we're all dreaming about something from day one. And when you see what his daily routine is like, when you walk through one day of his life and you see what he's going through, you start to understand why he's dreaming of the things that he's dreaming. And how important it is to make sure that our kindergartners of the world are dreaming. You know, it's amazing how many stories I read growing up where, you know, I'm black, you know, simple and plain, but everything that I see is, you know, black people are just others in stories growing up, you know, whereas, you know, you have, you know, white people, they're the heroes. That's what I thought. I thought they were supposed to be that way and we were supposed to just be other. Until I grew up and started to read, and I'm like, why do I have to wait till I'm in college to understand, you know, my true power and what's inside of me, you know? And again, I kind of owe it to my son. Like, if it wasn't for his disdain with some of the books that we were presenting to him, I don't think I ever would have thought about writing a children's book and trying to get, you know, young kids to see who they really are or can become. So, yeah, you're 100% correct.
That is so great. That's so great. We're going to take a quick break. We are here with William Perdue, who is the author of Sean's Window. This is G's Power Hour. If you have any questions for him, the number is 516-387-1944. G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. We will be right back.
Over the past 60 years, Dove Beauty Bar's superior formula has remained unchanged. But when it comes to beauty, everything changed. Together, we redefined beauty. We said no to stereotypes and yes to every type. We let go of judgments and embraced what makes us unique. We're proud to have been there with you, caring for you every step of the way. Here's to the next 60 years.
Hi, I'm Tim Garris. You may know me as Timmy G. Yeah, I know. It's been 2 decades, but I want you to know I'm back in the yard with you. And I've got a mix of music that can help you relax and chill out. It's smooth. It's relaxing. It's chill out jazz. The soulful mix of smooth jazz, soul, and smooth R&B. So join me every Wednesday night, 10 p.m. to midnight, on K-Ham Radio.
Chill out jazz. Are you chill out?
chillin'.
Good morning. Welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. We have the privilege of having an author on the show, and because that's something I've been wanting to do is to try to, you know, talk to authors and get good reading material out there. And he's got a book, new book, first time published, Sean's Window. And his name is William Perdue. And again, thank you, Mr. Perdue, for joining us today. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. I feel blessed. Thank you.
Thank you. So now you said there may be some others in the works. And are there any thoughts other than just the books? You know, any like maybe illustrated cartoons or anything like that?
Oh man, I have the ideas are endless. If I could be honest with you, you know, if I could find again, I do not want. And again, because I'm a first time publisher, like I said, I was trying to crack into the screenplay business. Anything that I try to present, it's got to be right because I know I'm a first timer. I know that I'm black. I know what I'm up against. If I'm going to present it, it's got to be right. So I'm looking for the right animator. I need somebody who could bring the ideas that I have to life, because I don't have one. Like you asked me earlier, like, is this a one-off or you have more ideas? Story writing is one of those things that, you know, the story can go on forever. You know, if you can really just entertain and enlighten and keep the interest of your audience, then you can continue your story forever. And yeah, I definitely have plans to turn this into a cartoon. I have a few other cartoon ideas that I'm also interested in going down that road. Even full feature cartoons I'm interested in. I just need to find the right animator. I got to make sure that it comes to life the way that it's supposed to. Because
right.
If it's tacky, then you lose them, you know?
Right.
I
want to
make sure the audience knows that this is the real deal. When they hold my book in their hand, when they watch my cartoon, when they watch my movie, they know, like, oh, I can't wait for this guy's next project to come out because he's serious about it. And that's just me. I'm always going to be that way, so.
True. So let me ask you this: for you decided that you had enough passion. This is what you wanted to do, and it was important to you. What kind of advice can you give startup writers based on the experience that you've had thus far?
I'm gonna sound like a broken record, G. but truth be told, my direct response is: do it. You know, whatever it is, stop thinking, stop hesitating. Do it. One foot in the other. There's going to be a million obstacles, things that are going to try to make you feel like you're doing the wrong thing. You're embarrassing yourself. You're wasting your time. You are not. You have a voice. You have your spiritual gift. There's a reason you feel that call to go do it, whether it's writing, whether it's starting a business, whether it's making a movie, anything. You want to model, you know, you want to sing. If there's something in you, you need to get it out. Because there's somebody else that's just like you sitting at home with the same gift or with some gift that they're just never going to use it because it wasn't taught into them to be confident, to just go for it, and that they have a spirit. We're all blessed with something. We are all blessed with something. What's funny is I'm doing children's books. I always need an illustrator. In my mind, it's like, oh, it's the book by William Perdue. I'm like, well, what is the book if it's a children's book without the pictures? And the interesting thing is I can't draw to save my life. I can't draw. I was like, I'm right-handed, but I feel like I have two left hands when it comes to, you know, making a picture. It's just always been like that. You hand me a pair of scissors and some glue, and I'm probably going to get stuck with the scissors behind my ear. Like, what just happened? I don't have that talent, but I have my writing. I don't know where I got it except to say that it's a gift because it wasn't like, you know, somebody sat with me and was just working with me every day. This is how you write. This is how you make it entertaining. It's just something that's in me that I want to present. And I know there's a listener right now that feels the exact same way. Like, man, I'm a shower singer, but I love doing it. People always tell me I have a great voice, but they never actually take the initiative to, you know, get off their couch and go sing something. You know, we have so many avenues nowadays with YouTube and all the social media platforms that, you know, if they just sing something and put it out there, there's going to be a million people that love it. You know, there may be 10 million that don't, but if a million love it, you made yourself some money, first of all. And second of all, if you sing with a purpose, you're probably going to bless somebody in the process. So my thing is just do it. You know, there's nothing like just getting up and seeing where it goes. I think your gift will lead you. So that's just how I am. You know, I see it just like that. I tell the same thing to the students that I teach, the students that I tutor, and I do the same thing in my stories. When you finish reading something that I've written, you're going to go, I need to go do something. And that's the point. So, you know, I want my son to feel the same thing when he reads them. Like, I'm him. I am Sean's Window. The story is named after me because I am him. And I hope every reader that, you know, picks it up feels the same way.
That's great to hear. And like you said, you know, you could, this, the good thing about it is it's kind of like your dream helped catapult someone else too, because you brought along an illustrator. Because you could not draw.
Right.
You had a vision.
Absolutely.
Right. So in a way, you know, in addition to, you know, having your vision put on paper, you also was able to bring along someone else who helped, you know, your vision jump off the page, you know, through drawing and stuff like that.
And an illustrator of color at that. You know, again, it's not about, you know, segregating, but it is about blessing diversity, right? It's you know,
right.
You'll see the same thing. My stories are about Black characters, but when you look at my books, you're going to see minority characters. You know, some of the students are going to be Latino, Latina. You know, there's going to be some of them that are Asian. I think, like I said, we're not other. We're just not. You know, there's so much more to us. And, you know, if you look on Serena Is Art, you know, Instagram page, and just look through, she just puts up picture after picture after picture daily, and they're amazing pictures, and she's someone that's not being paid for because no one has found her yet. But it's like, you know, same thing I would tell her is, don't stop, keep doing it. I hope Sean's Window does great, just if nothing else, to get people to start looking at her art, because she's that good. And you know, most people of color, it's not all are. We have that thing. You know, we are special. And so you're right. You know, it's like, I feel like I'm being blessed by having this book put out, but at the same time, I hope that I'm doing the same thing for her and my future illustrators, because, you know, that's who I want to work with, is those who haven't had a chance, that are talented, that are just sitting on the sideline. You know, if you love Beyonce, you have to understand there was a time Beyonce was, you know, just Beyonce knows somebody's daughter, you know. She wasn't the big star until somebody discovered her. You know, Denzel, same thing. You know, Eddie Murphy, same thing. At some point, they're just sitting on the couch. There's somebody's son or daughter, and it wasn't until they were discovered that we see their brilliance. And so we're all like that. We're all sitting on our couches, diamonds in the rough, and, you know, eventually we will be heard if we, like I said earlier, do it, if we keep going. So I agree with you strongly.
So now, I know I'm catching you off guard. I should have asked you this before. I wasn't thinking. Is it possible you would be able and willing to share an excerpt from Sean's Window?
You want me to read a piece of it?
Just a little piece. I know you're not trying to give the whole thing away.
No, I have no problems with that.
Okay. So we're gonna take a quick break, and then when we come back, we're going to hear a bit of Sean's Window by its author, William Perdue. This is
awesome,
G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. If you have questions, the number is 516-387-1944, and we will be right back.
Having a wedding, reception, family reunion, planning a banquet, or some other fundraising event, need to share your knowledge through a workshop or seminar, or it's a difficult time and you need to plan a wake or repast, let us help. At our gatherings, let us reduce the stress and make the occasion memorable, treasured. Call our gatherings at 407-968-9387 or email ourgatherings@yahoo.com. Let us help plan your special event.
This is Douglas Dobbs of Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service. We have served the Central Florida community for 29 years with quality funeral and cremation services. Honoring all religions and faiths, we have been here for many grieving families. Whether it's a complete funeral service with a burial or a simple, dignified cremation, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service is here for you. Located at 430 North Kirkman Road at the 408 Expressway, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service, 407-578-7720. Dobbs. Dedicated to serving our families.
Good afternoon, and welcome to back to G's Power Hour. I've never had it so good entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. So we are privileged to have an author on our show today. I like to get them when I can. This is his first publication. It's Sean's Window. It's a children's book. And the author's name is William Perdue, and he's going to give us a little piece of what he's written. So, Mr. Perdue, go ahead, please.
Absolutely. And at first, I just want to say I run a little synopsis on my Instagram story at wperdue, P-E-R-D-U-E, 0430. Just want to let you guys know so you can get a chance to see the pictures with some of the words that you're going to hear. All right, here we go. Sean's teacher, Mrs. Rush, explained to her class, "Today, we are going to draw a picture." But Sean was staring out the classroom window. "Sean, please pay attention. I promise your parents will be back to pick you up after school." "Boys and girls, your picture must explain who you are. My example is on the board." "Sean, I know you want to be on the other side of that window. If you listen and do your work, you can play basketball during recess. I want you to shine like the stars you are. So make sure your pictures have delightful colors." "Sean, I'm sorry to be a helicopter teacher, but if you don't finish your work, I'm afraid you'll be stuck inside this classroom all day." "Okay, students, hand in your perfect pictures, please." And I'm going to stop right there, because if I continue, you're going to find out what the surprise is.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you. Really appreciate it. So now, how do we find Sean's Window to read to our kids?
Absolutely. Sean's Window is available on Amazon. It's also available on Barnes & Noble. I get questions all the time. Does it matter which platform we buy it on? No, it doesn't. Whichever is most comfortable to you is comfortable for me. Again, Amazon and Barnes & Noble.
Okay, cool. Yeah, because, we do wonder sometimes, what's the best place to go to find it. And actually, too, if you're trying to support a particular author or a particular artist or whatever, what's the best platform to purchase from? So that's good to know. So,
I'm working on getting it into some of the smaller bookstores as well. Just things taking time during the pandemic. So we'll get it everywhere real soon.
Yeah, because I was going to say, it's kind of hard to kind of tour right now and all kinds of things right now. It's a whole different way. You got to be more creative. But, creativity obviously is your field, your strong suit. So we look forward to
100%.
Look forward to seeing Sean's Window and some of your other upcoming work in the future. So I'm glad you took the time today to tell us about it, because, like you said, it is important to have that visual for our children in terms of being able to see people of color in the books that they read, and being able to see people of color in the people that are producing. So that's very
100%,
important.
100%. You look up the window today, your window, your legit window, or you go outside or you watch the news, and everything you're seeing right now is the uprising of Black people. Black and brown people are trying to unite all over the country. And again, I think it starts young. I think it's a terrible tragedy that we had to learn George Floyd's name under the circumstances, as opposed to him being a great poet, a writer, a movie star, a basketball player, anything, a lawyer, a doctor, like whatever it is, we should have known him for something else. And again, I know it sounds like it's just a children's book, but it's not. It's so much more than that, because it starts when we're young. I see it every year, when I've taught as a teacher, students that come in, Black and brown students, they come into the classroom and they're not prepared. They don't have a love of reading. They don't have a love of writing, a love of school. They're there to be babysat. And the same spiel that I give to them as a teacher, the spiel that I want to give to them as a writer, and that they are special. We're going to give them the tools And once they have the tools, we want them to reach back and provide them to somebody else that needs them. Because we matter, Black Lives Matter, and we could do special things to unite this world if we're given a proper opportunity. So,
right. And I think that, like you said, we've got to start young. And I think personally that means you've got to kind of change the mindset in terms of how you groom your children. And I'm not talking about, like, grooming on the outside as much as grooming on
right,
the inside.
Right, right.
You know, and because I would say, I wasn't the fun relative in terms of giving gifts per se, but I mm-hmm. because my thing was, okay, I'm not going to just give you a doll, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to probably try to give you something that you can learn a little bit of something with. You know, I mean,
right,
you're going
right.
to learn your colors. You're going to learn your alphabet. You're going to learn your numbers. You're going to have fun doing it, okay? But,
all right.
That was
you're going to learn, though.
But that, I was that relative. It was like, okay, you know, yeah, you know, the doll is nice, but I know in about 90 seconds after I give you that doll, you're going to toss it aside and look for something else.
Right.
You know?
Right. I need you to
find something that you're going to be engaged in and it's going to have a takeaway.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah. But I was
I know,
that
I love
relative.
That. And you know what's funny? It's like I'm a little envious that I didn't have you around because, you know, we have a big family back east, Detroit, Michigan. Have
mm-hmm.
a little family down in Los Angeles, but we live in the Bay Area. And when I say we, it's my two older brothers, my older sister, and my mom. I do have
mm-hmm.
a little half sister who didn't grow up in the same household as us, mm-hmm. but at the same time, we didn't have an auntie around to give us that same message. You know, there weren't a bunch of cousins running around to, you know, kind of lead us in that way, trying to make sure that
mm-hmm.
we understand that the knowledge is the power, you know, all the cliches, right? But
mm-hmm.
how much further would me and my brother sisters be even today if we had, you know, a big mama around or an auntie around that cared, an uncle around that cared, that just made sure that they were instilling and planting seeds so that later on they would take root and we would know the way to go. And we would know
mm-hmm.
our power, right?
Right.
I would feel any shame in that. I would actually encourage you to do more of that and spread that word because we need it. We need it. You know, everybody does
yeah,
the same thing. We become adults. We become adults and we look back with regret. Oh, I should have did this. Oh, if I would have known this when I was younger. I think
yeah.
what happens is when we're going through adolescence, we push back to our parents and our elders that are around us. Like, just leave me alone. You're always lecturing, yada, yada, yada. And then parents and adults oblige. Oh, he doesn't want to be bothered. Let me just leave him alone and give him his space. When we should be doing the exact opposite because those words will just take root at some point. Go ahead.
Uh-huh. I had a different mom. My mom was one of those real old school moms.
Okay, okay.
She's like, I'm the mama, okay? So see,
right.
My mom is like, didn't play this like, you know, when you can take care of yourself and pay for yourself and you know, you on your own,
uh-huh.
you do that. But, you know,
right.
as long as you're under my roof, these are the rules. You know,
you
so,
don't follow my rules,
yeah.
see?
Yeah.
Love that.
And it wasn't
Love
that
it.
She wasn't fun, you know, but, I thought she was very, very strict. But at the same time, she was also fun. She just tried to make sure that, you know, like I was saying, you know, I'm the age that I am, and, you know, someone doesn't want to give me the information I need, I'm going to get, you know, and this is one of those times I say God bless the internet because
right.
you can get so much material off of there. You
right.
have to sift through it, but you can get a lot of material off of there. But she always made sure, one of the first things I had was a library card. So, you know, I was one of those.
Yeah,
weird ones.
I love that.
But
you know,
but
it's funny
fun.
You say that
library
too.
Is great.
Right, and we don't know that young. And that's a problem. I was just, like I said, you know, God bless your mom for making sure she was that person in your life, right? And it makes me think when you say what you said about the internet, God bless the internet. But it's like even something like that's helping us every day, whether we realize it or not. Just imagine if the person who thought of that didn't get up and just do it like we were talking about earlier.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
and what version of the internet could we create? You know, black
right.
and brown people. If we got up and we just did it. So that's where my mind is.
So now you talked about, your brothers. So, which one of your brothers do I have to thank for having you on the show? Because you got a brother out there that grabbed me up. You know that.
Oh, that. Yes, I do. That's my brother Ray. Ray Perdue. He's out there working hard. And the funny thing about it is, he doesn't know how much he's helping me. He doesn't realize it. You know, I'll tell him about this, and he'll go, "Okay, good. I'm glad I could help you." He'll brush it off like it's nothing. Super humble. Love them to death. But actually, I'd give a shout out to both of my older brothers because that's, you know, they're both older than me, but the oldest brother, DJ, he is a creative in his own right. You know, his spirit, he's one of those people that has a powerful voice, super talented, but isn't quite doing it yet. And I know that when he decides to, he's going to shock the world with some things too. So, you know, they motivate me in different ways. You know, I've watched them, you know, up close for many years. I'm 42 years old. I'm learning from those guys when they're doing something good, when they're not doing something that's so good. You know, that passive learning, that direct learning as well. So, I both of those guys deserve some love from me. My sister, too, you know, she's always pushing, my biggest cheerleader, so I appreciate them all.
And that's really important to have that family support because sometimes you can get people that'll say, okay, and give you kind of like a side eye and like, okay, whatever, you know. So,
exactly.
So it's really good to have that family support.
For sure. I love them to death.
Good. Well, good, you know, I'm not going to say good. God bless you and your ventures with Sean's Window and your future ventures.
Thank
you. You know, keep us posted. Let me know when you have the next book that's going to be out.
You know, I will.
Okay. All right.
I absolutely
will.
All
right.
I appreciate you so much. Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Mr. Perdue. William Perdue, the author of Sean's Window. And like he said, you can get it at Amazon and you can get it at Barnes & Noble. So make sure you check that out. Support them. You know, make sure that, especially if you have kids or nieces, nephews, cousins, whatever, that they're able to, you know, get the book. You know, you might know of a little library or bookstore that you think it should be in, you know. So just, you know, encourage that. We've got to support each other. So. Thank
right
you so
on.
Much.
I appreciate you. Thank you
All
so
right.
much. Thank you.
Take care. Have a blessed day.
You too. You too. Take care.
You too. We're going to cut out early today, but like I said, before we go, you know, check out the Buffalo Soldiers. Look them up. You know, they have a place in history that we need to recognize and we need to share with everybody. You know, another positive image that we need to support. So just remember that, you know, everybody needs support, you know, whether they're famous or not, everybody needs some support. So get out there, you know, we hear a lot of people down talking people, calling people names, you know, just there's too much negativity out there. So let's turn this around. So, you know, support Mr. Perdue and also, you know, read and share the story of the Buffalo Soldiers with our young ones so they don't grow up not knowing, you know, the history and who laid groundwork for them. So anyway, have a blessed day, you all. Tomorrow we have Dr. Trelonda Triplett on. You know, I'm going to ask about the virus and some other things. So, you know, just make sure you stay tuned. And if you have questions, be sure, you know, to join us tomorrow for time with Dr. Triplett. This has been G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Be well, be safe, and please remember, all real power comes from God. Take care.